Man. Man, God is doing such a good thing in us. I really pray for us as a church and as a people that we don't get, that we don't lose the wonder of God and what He's doing. That we don't kind of become so blasé and almost accustomed to it, but that we keep the wonder of who God is and what He's doing inside of us. Yeah, we come like children, you know, with eyes filled with belief, eyes filled with trust, eyes filled with wonder of, oh, my dad. So before I get into this morning, I just have a word for Ruli. Rulof, as you were praying, no, I just clearly felt God show me a picture. And He showed me a picture of where He took a box and He lifted the box up. And as He lifted a box up, you were standing underneath this box. But it's like you were much smaller. And then as He lifted the box, it's like all of a sudden, you know, like you started growing. And I just felt for you that God is taking off the box. And whether it's the box that people put on you or whether it's a box you put yourself in, I just felt God is coming and He's saying that He's in this time, He's lifting the box. And what He's going to grow you into is going to be something that not you could do or that anybody else could have done, but it's something that only He does. And so I just want to pray for you. And so, Father, maybe just let's extend our hands to Rulof. I thank You, Father, for Rulof. I thank You for his life, God. I thank You, Jesus, that You saved him, God, that You brought him out of darkness and into a marvelous light, God. And this morning, God, I want to thank You, God, that You are lifting the box over his life, God. You're lifting at the ceiling. You're breaking it out, God. And I thank You, God, that You are building and causing him to grow, God, in a way that is unnatural and completely spiritual, God. And I thank You for this, God. I thank You, God, that You are doing something in him, God, that is new. And we just want to pray over that, God, and we want to bless it, that work, God, that You're doing inside of him. And we pray, God, do not stop. Do not lift Your hand from him, God, in this time. And so we just thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So it's been a crazy month of November, and it's now December. It's been a crazy year. I feel sometimes like the previous time that we met was in March, and then all of a sudden, we all know what happened. We're not going to name the big C. But it's really been a crazy year, and coming out of COVID, coming into the next season, I think everybody feels like just the year has flown by. And this morning, I felt the word for us very much of what God has been doing in my heart. And I do believe, as the father of this house, that God is doing it in all of our hearts. And I do feel like this morning I want to chat a bit about that. And it might be actually a little bit already steering us into 2021. I believe like setting vision and things for our hearts to focus on. And it's not like it's going to be something new or something that you haven't heard before possibly. But I do believe, and it's what we've seen God doing over this time, is bringing us back to a place of doing the elementary, the basic things well. Like focusing on what God is focusing on. Being where God is. And I do believe for us that there's a couple of basics. And it really doesn't get more basic than this. And so I'm going to give you, for once, I've actually like have a name for my preach. Usually it's like the worst thing. I can do the preach. Just don't tell me to get a name for my preach because I don't know. But this time, it's like the name of the preach. And I'm going to say you the name of a preach. And you're going to go, oh, Rian, I think you should have been in Next Gen or in the kids' class because that's what it sounds like. But my title for the preach this morning is The ABC of Jesus, You, and Me. Okay? I can rhyme. The ABC of Jesus, You, and Me. Now, ABC is elementary. It's like, it's the basic things. It's the things that you you teach your kids, you know, when they start going beyond gaga gugu, you know, it's like, those are the things. And we teach one another the ABC because it creates context. It gives meaning to things. We were able to define things when we know the letters, when we know the alphabet. Juniper May, she's 3 years old, and she walks around most of the day singing some kind of a song. She would sing when she's like a living musical. And so she often walks around and she starts singing the ABC. And I've picked up, like, for most people, when they were small, for most kiddies, when they get to the L-M-N-O-P part, it kind of gets jumbled. So it's like, ABC is fine, but when it's like, L-M-N-O-P and the XR, like, anyway, I don't know why I said that now. But coming back to my ABC, I do believe it's the things that, it's a place where we start. And you've heard me say it, and you've heard it all around with us, is that coming into COVID, in the time of COVID, everything that we thought we knew, everything that we thought was important, is necessary, all those things to a large extent have shown what's really necessary or essential, it's a big word, for COVID time, and what is not. And then even coming back into church, it's changed the way of how we look at one another, of how we can get to be together, and having to figure out what is the most important thing that we need for our togetherness, that we need for us to be able to love God, to walk with God, to walk out these purposes for our lives. And over this time of COVID, we've preached on a number of things, and then just even in this month of November, it's like God just rehashed almost everything that we were talking about since starting to meet together. Is we had Marnie Lombard preaching about being lukewarm. Like, what does that mean? What does it look like? What is the danger of it? And he put the challenge out there to us, like, what is the temperature of your heart? Like, are you lukewarm? Are you cold? Are you hot? And that encouragement for us to keep our hearts burning, to get our hearts to a place of where it's on fire. We had Will, again, just building on top of that, preaching about the true gospel. But what really is the gospel about? What really should be the thing, how we should order our lives? Like, how we should live out what Jesus is doing inside of us. And in this last week, we had Russell Fraser, and like really stirring everybody with going like, do you know what a radical life looks like? Do you know what a radical Christianity looks like? It's not about the opportunity. It's not about, you, in a sense, what you do, but it's like, where's your heart towards God and how are you living that out? And I really believe it was such a challenging word for each and every one of us. If you missed it, I want to encourage you, go listen to the word that Russell gave to us. There's some key things there that he mentioned for us as a church. One of them is that there's a sleeping giant. He called us out to be a sleeping giant. Now, what does that mean? Because that's a prophetic word. It's a declaration over us. It means that there's something that is still asleep, and when it wakes up, it's something that changes everything around it. It's a sleeping giant. And I want to say to us, like, are we hearing these words of on fire hearts, of the true gospel, of being asleep where we should be awake, living a life that is on fire for God? Are we hearing these words, and are we giving our hearts to it? Because if we're not, we become a people that's ever hearing and never doing. And that just gets you into trouble. And I do believe for us for this time that God is calling us to make sure that we know our ABCs. Making sure that we not just, and our ABCs is not just the thing that we know, this is the basic thing, or this is the, like, it's actually, ABCs come and it brings language. Now, language is important. So, Helen is English, and I'm Afrikaans. And even though I speak English, My English doesn't always come across as English to her. So we can even say the same thing, but language is much more than just the words that we speak. And we know this. It's important for us to understand what each other is saying. And we get that by spending time together. And we're going to get into that also a little bit now. But language is that thing that creates for us something to commune with. It creates for us something to share with. It creates the place for us where I get to know you and you get to know me. Like if I would stand here and just speak Afrikaans to some of you, I can just as well speak Russian. It won't make a difference. And I can be all passionate for God and burning, and I'm going to get frustrated that you're not doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to get frustrated, oh, you're going to get frustrated, you don't understand what I'm doing, and it's like, and that's why we need language. We need a common language. And that's where I'm coming back to my title of the ABC of Jesus, you and me. Because there's, I believe, for us a language that we need to come together with. And that language will determine where we go to. Language is important. Language is the foundation of how we communicate. It's more than just words. Language is the precursor. It's the thing that comes before culture. It introduces culture. It directs culture. And so it's important for us that in this time where we are at, with the word that God is speaking to us, not just of that you need to have a burning heart, but that you are called as one, that you are one body, that you are one church, that my destiny lies in you and your destiny lies in me. When we put all these things together that God is saying, we need to understand in order for us to together do it and accomplish it, we need a common language. A language will determine our future. And so my ask to you this morning is that we start leading our language to become a thermostat. But also that we understand that our language currently as it is a thermometer. Okay? I'm getting all scientific here. Difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. A thermostat makes the room. So if we put a thermostat in the room and we've got a aircon, if we say it needs to be 18 degrees, the thermostat determines when is the 18 degrees. So it gives temperature. A thermometer is the thing that just checks what the temperature is. And so our language is going to be, it is both. Scripture speaks of out of one's heart, the mouth overflows. So when the things that we're saying is negative or maybe biting your brother, or it becomes a thermometer of what's happening in our hearts. But also at the same time, because language is that precursor of culture, it's that thing that directs you. Scripture speaks of that your words is like, it's life and death. Like there's a direction to it. It leads us into a direction. It means that our words and our language becomes also a thermostat. And we want to have both. We want to have both. If I think of Russell's word, I think actually what he was saying is like, guys, where are we leading our hearts to? Are we leading our hearts into a place of being cold? Or are we leading our hearts into a place of being radical? As I was listening to his message, he said something and I was like, whoa. I kind of rewind it and listen to it again just to make sure that I'm hearing right what he's saying. But he said it so quickly that you can kind of dismiss it. And it's not to puff him up, but it's a thermometer of where his heart is at. As he was saying that, I don't have a pension. I gave my pension for the building of Sunningdale. And you kind of like hear him say that and you go like, whoa, that's big. And not that I'm asking all of us to come and lay our pension at the feet and go, let's build something. But like it shows something of where his heart is at. And I do believe that it's important for us. Luke 6 verse 45 says this. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So my question to us, what are we speaking in this day? There's so many reasons for us to moan about masks, to moan about COVID. Is this person following regulations? Is this person not following regulations? Is the one, this one doing this? What's the price, the petrol price, the food price, the electricity goes off? Like, there's so many things in and around us where we can so easily just give our mouth to and start moaning about it. Grumbling, maybe a better word. Are we speaking life or are we speaking death? Even to our own hearts. So if language is that thing that steers us into a direction that creates culture in us and around us, what are we using our words for? What are we using our language for? Are we stirring up hope? Or are we sowing hopelessness? Like, what's the thing that we, when we talk, I mean, you almost can't get out of a conversation these days without speaking about COVID-19, without speaking about regulations, without, you can't. It's like people, it's the first thing people know and it's the last thing that they say. And in those moments, what is the thing that's coming out of our mouths? Are we speaking of the hope of Jesus that is placed in our hearts? That his hands holds our hearts. That his hands holds our future, our destiny. It's safe in his hands. It's very safe in his hands. Are we speaking that into our families? I want to say to you, like, it's Christmas time, and for most of us, there's family or at least friends that we are going to. And it's like when you've done all the pleasantries and all the thing, the conversation is either going to start going bad, like, oh, the world, the government, the this, the that. Or you could be that agent of hope in the conversation. Whatever the temperature in our heart is in that moment will be the thing that comes out of our mouths. And who's ever had this experience of where you sit in a room and you start talking? And you might not have been very, you know, depro or like just negative about things. But one person says something negative. And all of a sudden you find yourself, yeah, actually I do feel like that. And you start adding to the conversation. But instead of turning the conversation, you start going, oh. And when you walk out of there, you walk from this place of like, whoa, that's heavy. My life is over. Like, I'm going to die. Have you ever had that experience? So I'm touching a couple of things here. Just your voice. Is your voice a voice of grace, of forgiveness, and love? Or are you a voice of accusation? A voice of disqualification. Are you the voice of the enemy? We don't often, if I were to ask you, do you want to be the voice of the devil? He's not one of us that is going to say yes. Hey? Anybody wants to be the voice of the devil? Let me read you a scripture. Revelations 12, verse 10 to 11. And I heard a loud voice, and this is John speaking about the war that's going on in heaven. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down to earth. Doesn't say earth, but thrown down. Who accuses them night and day before our God. Who accuses them night and day before our God. What is the language that is coming out of our mouths? It might even be in your prayer life. They go, yes, God. Ulrich, he just gets it to me. God, I want you to, can't you just sort Ulrich out? You're doing exactly the same thing as what the devil did. It doesn't say that the devil just kind of runs around and does whatever he wants to do. And just, no, it's actually to God. He comes to God and he says, God, you know, Ulrich, he is irritating. He's doing this and this and this and this to me. You need to get him, God. Toast breaky. That's what the devil comes daily. He comes into the presence of God and he's going like, this is who he is. This is the real Ulrich. God, you are not seeing it. This and this is what I'm saying. And then Jesus steps in and Jesus actually goes, no, but I've actually paid for this. And then the devil's probably going to go away and try and find something else that he can do. But he's constantly accusing, constantly disqualifying, constantly saying, not good enough, or I've got a problem with this, I've got a problem with that. So in our own lives, how do we treat our spouse? What voice are you? Are you the voice of Jesus coming saying, hey, I love you, I've paid for it? Or are you the accuser? Language is very important. And we need to lead our words. We need to lead our hearts. Because out of our hearts, that thing comes. And so I want to go on with that scripture and I want to just show three things to us. In verse 11, it says this. After it says, who accuses them night and day before our God. Verse 11. And they, speaking not about Jesus or God, speaking about us, you and me, the saints. And they have conquered him. And him, the devil, the accuser. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Interesting. Word of their testimony, language. Word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. Okay? So there's three things I want to point out to us. First of all, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is the work of Christ. It's the work of Christ. And the word of their testimony, language. Okay? And they did not love their lives unto death, the culture that follows language. So I want to quickly show us something here. The blood of the Lamb, the work that Jesus did. That blood comes into us and it cleans us. It makes us part of God. It makes us part of His kingdom. It washes us white as snow. It's what happens here inside of us. Then they conquered by the word of their testimony. What's the word of their testimony? Look at what Jesus has done in me. It's like it becomes direction to those around them. It's like words, it's language that comes out of saying, this is what Jesus has done. And as it becomes the direction, the thing that they're working towards, the thing that they're speaking about, their language, what happens is it directs their lives into doing the same thing that Jesus did. Giving himself. For the glory and the sake of God. So when I look at that, I see Jesus doing something, us speaking about it, and as we're speaking about it, as we make that thing physical, it leads our lives into doing the same thing. Man. Isn't that what you want for your life? That's what I want for my life. It's what I want my heart to burn like that. It doesn't always. Sometimes I need to beat my body into wanting to burn. Even Jesus had to beat his own body into wanting to burn. Russell mentioned it last week as well. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, please let this cup go away from me. But not my will, your will be done. It's like saying, God, not me, but you. And what does he do in that? Again, as he speaks, he follows. It creates culture. Does that make sense to you guys? Is it just me? Add some pizza. So let's get to the A, B, and C. I did have some pizza yesterday, but it's not that, I promise. So A, abide. Yes, it is a, I think is it the Baptists that always have their five letters or their, hey, it's the Baptists. 3 points, three? 3 points, three sub-points. Well, today it seems like I'm flowing in a Baptist spirit here. Abide, A. Okay, A is for abide. It's also, so my title is the ABC of Jesus, you and me. Abide is also the Jesus part of that. My sub-point. John 15, verse 4 to 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's the place where we start. It's abiding in God. We can't do this life without being in God. Getting back to our scripture in Revelation, the work of God on the cross, the blood. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the work of God. The blood of the Lamb is the thing that marks us as God, as God's property. It's a thing that is the sign to the enemy that this is the blood of the Lamb that was slain. The one that was innocent, the one that was spotless. So it's the work of God. And as God works in us, he makes space for us to be in him. It's not outside of him. It's not looking at him just. No, actually, it's in him and he in me. Abide. I want to ask you this morning, how are you abiding? Often in these times, Christmas season, we tend to take a break. Take a break from God, take a break from church, take a break. God will understand. I'm also tired, you know. I'm sure God is also tired. He just No. We need to abide in him. I want to say to us, this is a time for us to be able to sow into God, to sow into his kingdom. Because everything else around us is saying to us, hoard, hold back. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know when is the next lockdown going to come? Is it not going to just be, that other city? So everything inside of us is saying, hold back, hold back, hoard, hoard. But I do believe that in this time, this is a time for us to sow into God. And I'm not necessarily just talking about finances. Finances, I want to say this. If your heart is truly in God, and you're truly seeing him for who he is, and spending time with him, really abiding, your finances will never again be an issue in your heart, whether you have much or whether you have little. Because you'll know you're always in his hands. And he speaks and he says, are you not worth more than the sparrows or the air or the lilies of the field? So there's something where he takes our focus away and says, don't think about these things. Think about me. Look at my kingdom first. Look at me first. And in that place, he gives us everything that we need in order to be faithful again towards him. Are you abiding in him? B, belonging. Belonging. So A is abide, B is belonging. As we abide in God, he makes us part of who he is. He makes us part of his kingdom. He makes us part of his children. He makes us part of his house. Belonging. There was a time in my life where I felt like, sure, God, I don't belong. And the things that ended up in my heart was offenses that kept me from really belonging. Offense towards God, and then offense towards these people becomes very easy. And I want to say to us, I do believe for us that there is a call out to each and every one of us to belong. To know that we belong in God. That we belong with God, that we belong and we are part of his house, that we are part of his church, of his people. If we think we can serve God outside of his church, then there's a missing of, it's like a half a gospel. Romans 12, verse 4 to 5 says this, for as in one body we are many members, And the members do not have all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body where? In. Are one body in Christ. Abiding. We abide, what do we become? We become part of the one body. We are one body in Christ. And individually, hear this. And individually, members of one another. It's not just, I can't just serve God all by myself. As I serve God together with Ulrich, together with Jesse, together with Dave, together with Kurt, we serve God together. Not because we like being singing Kumbaya. No, it's because of him. It's like you get into the lift. And you realize, hey, you here. Hey, you are here. You are also here. As we get into Christ, we go, hey, you are here. Hey, you are here. There's a togetherness. And we need that in order to walk this out. I want to just, again, go back to, let me not get ahead of myself. So B is belonging. It's also the you. So A is abiding. It's Jesus. B is belonging. It's you. Now, who's the you? For me, it's you. And for you, I'm you. To you. Okay? You get that? So you're the me and I'm the you. To you. Let's say it again. Because there's still people like, what is he saying? Like, I don't know. Are you you? Are you me? Or am I? Or what is happening? To me, it's you. You, Mateo, it's me. I'm the you of Mateo. And everybody else. It's belonging. We belong to one another. We belong to God. And together, we are one body that moves. That thirdly and lastly, contribution. Well, C. Come on. C. I was going to get all the tension there. C is contribution, not COVID. Okay. It's contribution. It's not abiding, belonging, and COVID. No, no, no. It's abiding, belonging, contribution. Contribution is such a key part of who we are. But it's also the me. So I've got Jesus abiding. I've got belonging. I'm part of you. But then I've got the contribution. Actually, I've got a part for you. You hear that? It's the you, Jesus, you and me. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8 says this. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Not sit on them. Not just know all about them. No. It's let us use them. And he's speaking here of context, of church. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Like we all play a part. We all have something to give. Now here's the beautiful thing. Is when we come and we read again Revelations that we started off with, we see that there's a part where it's Jesus' blood abiding. As we abide, there's the word of our testimony. It's like, hey, there's a belonging. I am now part of Jesus' kingdom. So I'm telling the story of what Jesus has done. And as we find that story of what Jesus has done, what is the next one? Say again. Contribution. Cheerfulness. Contribution. And they did not love their lives unto death. Contribution. To the kingdom of God, but to his people as well. That's powerful if we really think about it. So I want to ask you, what does the ABC look like in your life at the moment? How's your abiding doing? Are you abiding? Are you belonging? What does your language look like? Is your language the part of that sounds like the enemy, or it sounds like Jesus that includes, that brings you in, that makes you part, even though you didn't deserve it, and you've done wrong, and you've been against him, he pulls you in. Are you part of the belonging? But then in that as well, do you find that place of where you actually contribute? See, it's a funny thing about these things. Like when we abide in God, we realize that we're part of his kingdom. And out of that place, we start giving. And in the giving, there's a joy that comes. And that joy actually makes us want to belong more. And as we belong more, we realize, oh God, I'm just so thankful for who you are. I abide more. And it's like these three steps of A, B, and C go back and forth. And they play into one another, and they're weaving the story of God in our lives and on this earth. Have you heard the people that went on outreach? Each and every one of them were thankful that they could have gone. Contribution. There's a joy. Oh man, you got to get to know the family that's in Mossel Bay. You got to get part of just, we had it on the Saturday morning, we had like probably from like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I can't remember, till about 12, 1 o'clock. We were just sitting in a coffee shop, just spending time with one another. There, nothing spiritual went on there. The only spiritual thing was the beautiful, warm, gooey chocolate croissant that I was eating. It was a spiritual experience. No, it's like we got to share in one another's lives. We got to speak about, oh, this is my experience. This is like each and every person went out there like happy. Oh man, I'm so excited I can be here. On Sunday, when everybody left, I said to them this. I said, guys, if only this whole outreach, driving to Mossel Bay, it's about 400 kilometers, it's 400 kilometers back, sleeping in an uncomfortable place or bed, it's not your own space, it's like, if all of this was worth it, if we just could have had coffee together for that morning. contribution, joy of the belonging. As we belong and we realize we found our place, we realize actually we can see more of what Jesus has done, and we go, oh God, I just want to be more in your presence. Because it builds inside of me belonging. It stirs inside of me wanting to contribute. That again makes me more wanting to belong. I don't know about you, but for me, that becomes something that I go like, that I can give the rest of my life to just doing those three things. Abiding in God, belonging to Him and His people, and contributing, giving my few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes to whatever, like, it's not much, but God, like, I just give whatever I have. I can give my life to those three things and pursue them to the utmost. And I want to say to you, if that is our pursuit, you will start living a different life. You will start having a radicalness about you that you won't see anywhere else. So I want to end off with this scripture that we know very well. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. And He gave, it's God, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints, all of us, including me, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. It's interesting. It says into. From the whole body, joined and held together, so into abiding the head. From the whole body, joined and held together, belonging by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, contribution makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It's like this theme is all over Scripture. Abiding, belonging, contribution. God didn't call us to just save our lives so that you can go to heaven. No. He wants you to play a part in His kingdom. You're part of His body. Every part in your body, no matter how insignificant it looks, has some function. There is not one thing in our body as it is right now that doesn't have a function. Some functions are big, some functions are small. But every part is doing something. Let's close our eyes.